Hello, gang. Day 31. It's marooned at MacBite's headquarters. How are you doing, Mike?
Fine.
He's got a bag of toffee. He is fine. How is everybody else?
No red wine, though.
I can't see the chat. We're going to have to refresh again. Why have you got no red wine, Mike?
Locked it downstairs.
Ooh, let me have a look what's going on. Hello, Kim. Cooking, just listening for a while. We're good. We'll pass that. We'll pass the news along from everybody else. Cooking with Kim. I'm liking that. Long as I don't have to do it. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, an omelette for Jonathan. You like the echo for the intro. Oh, it was far out, all right. Right, I've muted it now. I usually mute the whole thing, but I went on a webinar at 5 o'clock on this course that I'm doing. 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock, they said. Yes, 6:45, they were still going. And I'm thinking, how am I going to deal with this? But it was fine. The only thing I forgot was to turn the sound down. But now it's gone. Hello, Pete. How are you doing, Pete? How are we doing?
Fine.
You see, Mike's all right. I'm a bit on the, need to sort some stuff out mode, I think. Yeah, that's what I need to do. We're supposed to be getting an update tomorrow, but in the meanwhile, the lunacy continues. I've got to share some of these. They're classics. I can't remember if I shared this one with you, but it's this one about, we talked about the Beetham Tower, which is in central Manchester. It's the tallest building in Manchester, I think. And I think we talked about this. It was the idiot who decided to have a barbecue on his balcony on the Beetham Tower. Yeah, fire brigade ended up going. I thought it couldn't get much more stupid than that, but it did. It's sort of nearer Pete than us, I think. It's Derbyshire. There we go. Oh, so Pete's doing well. Where's that just disappeared to? Right, induction at the Nightingale Hospital and currently doing some planning. Planning and protocol. I guess at least that's safe, isn't it? But I'm reckoning you'd rather be doing medical things. Not heard anything about our one in Manchester opening yet. But I did read a story about the one in the northeast. I'm not sure which bit of the northeast, but the northeast. Was it Middlesbrough or Newcastle?
No idea.
Anyway, the one in the northeast, saying that it may never open. Which I thought was strange, but given there was only supposed to be 19 people at the Excel Centre, we'll just have to see how it goes. Yes, Apple have released the iPhone SE. I actually said to Mike, it's like there's nothing else going on in the world, isn't it? So how exactly are we supposed to get our hands on the SE? Oh, yes, mail order. But what if you wanted to see it? Couldn't they have waited? It's as though they've got this plan and they're going to carry on with it even if the world ended. I'm not thinking that's good PR for Apple, but is that just me? So it's a marginally bigger document than the back of a fag packet currently. Well, it's got scope for growth. Washington, that's the one. But the guy supposedly in charge said it may never open, which of course would be good because it would mean it wasn't needed. But very strange from a watching it as an outsider perspective. Very, very strange. Still no sign of Boris, I see. Wonder how long he'll be. Reckoning's probably about 3 to 4 weeks. But I just feel with Apple, I felt icky about the iPads, but I could understand the iPads. But, you know, these things are assembled in China. It is a wonder anybody is buying them. And it just feels very wrong to me. I wouldn't have been in the market for an SE anyway. I know it's one of their most popular phones. Were you ever interested in an SE?
No.
No, they're the coloured ones. No, not bothered. Not in the slightest bit interested. Good evening, Anthony. But is it good Apple are carrying on as normal? I think it's diabolical, but that's just me.
Like I said, I can see the point. They've got a sales cycle, they've got shareholders, but it's not exactly.
And most people in the world have got somebody they know closely dying.
Yeah, they haven't got the money.
It doesn't matter whether they've got the money or not. It's not the time to be spending it, is it?
No.
Like Jonathan said with the iPad, Jonathan's quite right. I mean, I did not get it because of the price, but then I'm in an incredibly privileged position to be able to afford it and not worry about whether I can eat or not. Apple, but that's not the point.
Apple have done their PR up front. They've given money away. They've donated eye masks or whatever it's called. They're doing this thing with Google. So now they feel that they can do what they want.
I don't think so.
Well, I agree with you.
I mean, how many face masks, not masks, what are they? The visor things. How many visor things have they actually made? Are they totally free? Where did they go? I mean, there's a guy locally in Sale, and we're a fairly small borough. There's about 250,000 people in the borough. And I can't remember. Can you remember what that guy did before? But basically, he decided he had enough equipment from what it was that he did on a regular basis to make some visors. So he got his 3D printer going and he's hand making these visors. People heard about it and wanted to help. So he said, don't give me money. I can't buy anything with the money at the moment. So he put together an Amazon wish list for components like sheets of perspex for the front. So people have been buying him things off his wish list. Once they get to a certain level, his wife's been ringing the suppliers to try and bump him up the delivery order. And he's making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds by hand at his kitchen table. Has anybody ever heard how many Apple have actually made and where they've actually gone? This guy's dropping them off at not just hospitals. That's an interesting question, Pete. Question for you. If somebody turned up with visors and they were like made at a kitchen table to a certain spec, could you use them or would they have to pass some kind of internal thing? This guy's taking them 50-50 to the NHS and care homes. So at least the care homes are getting some. All right, let's have a look. I'm going back up here. Right. There will probably be a bump after the lockdown ends. That's what I said to Mike. Whenever they release this lockdown, there's bound to be like a second wave. They'll probably still recommend that people over a certain age don't go out. And I'm saying to Mike, it's going to be the tipping point between if there are any infections and or deaths, it'll be less significant than the importance to the economy. And I'm saying to Mike, yeah, I'm going to be in the house, not moving. Like Christmas is fine. I'll be fine till Christmas. I could probably be longer than then, couldn't I? What are you sniggering at?
I'm reading further down the thread and I've just seen Pete's typo. It's a load of old beef, isn't it?
Brilliant, Pete, brilliant. Doesn't work on radio, that. I'm not going to read it out. If you're here, fabulous. If you're not, Pete's blushes. You're more worried about the economic downturn than the new phones. I think we'll probably bounce back. But as Jonathan says, I don't feel money at the moment is best in Apple's pocket. I feel it's best in mine. I thought you'd have to have
Morrison's.
Them. Or Morrison's. Yeah, Morrison's. I thought you'd need them tested first. Notice that, tested. But people seem to be sending them. Oh, another thing that's happening. Don't know if it's been a long day. Exactly, Pete. Have you seen these lunatics? Lunatics is the only word. I don't know where this started, but it was basically light a Chinese lantern,
yeah,
one of these paper lantern things, you know, with a candle in it and let it go to support the NHS, at which point it lands in somebody's garden, sets fire to something, you have to call the fire service out and you end up in A&E. Really? Apparently it's a thing. They used to do them for New Year in this country. Do you remember Mayer's last New Year? We were outside. He was having a whale of a time watching the fireworks. If it made a noise, he loved it. And then I said, what's that? And this thing like hovered like an alien over the garden as I'm watching it. And then I realised it was a lantern. So obviously it had this candle in it. And all of a sudden it just burst into flame. So I grabbed the dog and legged it inside. Can you imagine? Now, they've actually put out a picture in the UK of, I'm assuming it was dead. Have you seen it? The dead owl.
No.
I think it got an owl. And now they're putting pictures out and saying, don't do this. I mean, it doesn't.
I have no desire, you know what I'm like with dead birds.
No, Mike's not good with dead birds.
She found a dead pigeon the other day.
Oh, Lola. Mind you, so did Mummy a while back. Well, actually, it wasn't dead when I found it.
No.
I did not kill it. It died of natural causes. But yeah, there was this pigeon and it fell out of a tree. It must have had a stroke or something. So it's on the floor and it was flapping but couldn't actually move. So I said, well, you know, we'll look after it. And Mike's like, what? What? So I picked up this bird and I'm cradling it and I could see it didn't have long. And it died in my arms. And Mike's like, oh, God.
We were in the church car park.
We were in the church car park and he fell out of a tree.
And the priest disappeared, so he couldn't even give it the last
rites. No, he didn't get the last rites. But I was holding it and Lillian was there, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And this poor bird died, but Mike couldn't be doing with it. He could not be doing with dead birds. So you wouldn't want to see this picture of the owl, I'm telling you. Oh. People are just insane, aren't they? They're absolutely insane doing these things. I mean, the clapping is actually so much better because you're getting to see neighbours that you wouldn't have seen in a long, long time. The very first time we said there was a neighbour and she was inside, she's had two hip replacements in the last year or so. So she's quite dodgy on her feet. But last week she came out, which was lovely to see. So, yeah, just or you could set fire to the moors, you could. You're going out and you're going to have a barbecue. Don't do it on the moors. Seriously. Oh, cooking epic fail. Not as bad as setting the moors on fire, I hope. What went wrong? What was it? We've got a recipe that only needs three ingredients. And I'm thinking it looks rather nice. It was some kind of like crunchy. What's it called? Toffee crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
Like a crunchy.
Yeah.
Apparently, you only need caster sugar, golden syrup, and bicarb.
We've got 2 out of 3.
We've got bicarb, haven't we?
That's the one I'm talking about.
So what haven't we got?
Caster sugar.
Darn it.
Unless it's in the cupboard.
Darn it. Well, you can use normal sugar if you pestle and mortar it first.
We've got a pestle and mortar.
Well, there you go, then. Ooh, yes, honeycomb. That's the one, Jonathan, honeycomb. Like a crunchy. It was apparently somebody who put this recipe on Instagram or whatever. Mine would probably be more like cinder toffee, you're quite right. And I daren't do that because Kim would kill me.
So would Craig. Can't
put that. Oh, yeah, so would Craig. Yeah, I can't have any damage to these teeth. Not while I can't get out of the house, I can't. So I'm reduced to, I would be reduced to mashed potato, but they took that off your order, didn't they?
We've got plenty of mashed potato.
We have now. Yeah. We have now. It's like a honeycomb thing. It looked like a crunchy that she'd made. A fourth ingredient was optional, which was chocolate, and then you dipped it in the chocolate and then let it set.
We've got plenty of chocolate.
It looked nice, I must admit. I was tempted, but we haven't got the caster sugar. None of you have asked the important question. Now, either you know the answer already or you've read the email. Slotgate didn't go well. Got it in the basket again. Even got the lettuce and a cucumber. I thought, yes. Came to come out. Did see times. Saw 10 o'clock to midnight again. I thought, nobody wants that slot. I'll have it. Click that. Click the checkout. Kept me going even longer. Whizzing round, whizzing round, whizzing round. And then it took me back to the basket. I'm getting heartily sick of this.
Green beans that became white.
Ooh. I could probably do green beans. frozen for 2 years. Oh, dear. This sounds like a Cooking with Elaine moment, Kim.
Yeah.
How am I getting on with lettuce and cucumber? Not good.
We've got lettuce and cucumber.
We have it now, but yesterday. Only because of the Tesco order.
Yeah. No, the Asda order.
The Asda order. But we've only got one slot left. And we don't seem to be in the game of getting a slot anytime soon.
I've just tried again.
So there's just no slots and we're talking about 3.5 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
So it's a good job I got that gluten-free stuff when I did and it's in the freezer.
It is.
We're going to have to stop eating shortly. Eke it out. It's disgusting. They're just so badly organised, the supermarkets. But that's just me, isn't it? At least the important services are carrying on. We did get the green bin taken on Tuesday, or we would have done if we'd have had any rubbish in it, but we didn't. Yeah. The green bin...
We had a bit of rubbish.
Well, it's over.
We had 2 plants.
That's probably because I killed them. Was it?
We both killed them. It was a joint effort.
Jonathan assures me a cactus is the answer, which I'm thinking I could repurpose. So I'm quite with Jonathan. When all this is over, I'm going to buy a cactus and call it Jonathan. Cactus Isaacs, that'll do. A few weeks in, they surely have more people. Exactly.
You would have thought so, Jonathan.
That's my point, Jonathan. We are a few weeks in. They've had time like Pete's doing his protocols and procedures. Why aren't they? They must have volunteers.
Yeah, it's not like they need more vans because people are using their own cars.
I know. And there's lots of people looking for work. And that would be deemed essential. So what's the problem? Oh, I'll tell you what I did see. If you're in the UK, you may have heard of Dr. Hilary Jones. He's been around for donkey's years. I don't have much in the way of respect for the man. He was the one who cheated on his wife with this other girl. And then he married this other girl. And then he cheated on her with somebody else while she was pregnant. So, you know, morals, not high on his list of priorities. But he did do a Q&A. And the question came in, it's OK to clean your car, isn't it? And he came back and said, no, it's not. So I said to Mike, can we have that blown up life size and then some and pasted on the side of the house for the Muppet opposite who washes about 17 every Sunday? That would be good. So no, you are not allowed to wash your car. I don't think mine's moved in how long. Doesn't need washing. It'll be fine. Hoping a ship would be named after you, Jonathan. Take the cactus. As long as I don't kill the cactus. We're all good to go. Should I get a small cactus or a big cactus? Depends on the level of idiot I've got to deal with, doesn't it? I might start with a small one and see how we go. It could be Cactusy McCactus Face. I think that's a UK joke. We're crazy in the UK, aren't we?
I noticed there's more cars out this afternoon and more people.
I think people have just basically decided that this was going on till after Easter and that's it. They've given up now. Mm. I didn't get to see the press conference today that they were doing. And this came out about the weekend, which was just so many people flouting lockdown. I mean, why bother? They're going to have to do something. They don't end up like France where they tightened it up after a certain number of weeks. Clearly, it's the, what they're called, the behavioural psychologists. They had them on before we actually went into lockdown and they were saying how difficult people would find it. And I'm sat there like midnight one night thinking, why would it be difficult to stay in the house? And I did not understand. Now I've seen people, I realise they are complete cretins. I did not think this. I thought they had a modicum of intelligence. Clearly not. I made a big mistake. I can tell from the number of cars going past. It quietens down in the evening about 7:30 to 8. But the rest of the day, it's not as busy as normal, but it's certainly busier than it has been the last 3 weeks. So I think unless the government actually come out and say, you know, we are still in lockdown, hello, remember, people will just kind of push it and push it and push it. And before you know it, 10 days from now, we'll be back to normal. And then like Pete says, there'll be the second wave. Can I call that the idiot wave, Pete? Because the only ones that would be going short, mind you, depends who they infect, doesn't it? Oh, can't everybody just wear leg irons and be done? They exasperate me. They really do. They're just making everybody's life more difficult. Somebody posted something. I think I started it, actually. You know, these idiots that are going out. And then somebody posted something else. Rachel had a complete meltdown on Facebook. There was effing and blinding included, which I've never actually heard from Rachel. It's not. But she was sort of saying, you stand there every Thursday and clap me. Why can't you just stay in? That's the thing that would make the biggest difference. She did get a lot of support for it, bless her. We just want to be able to go around and hug her, but obviously we can't. But yes, she was not pleased. Not pleased. Why not car washing? You'd be socially distancing. Not that I'm for washing cars during this pandemic. I don't know. I didn't actually see it, Paul. But what comes to my mind is it's actually quite warm here right now. And we're running on limited measures on the water reservoir capacity after last year's debacle, where one nearly collapsed. So I'm wondering if it's to do with the amount of water that they're using. But just the fact that you're out and dog walkers are walking past you and then you want to pet the dog, because every time we take the dog out, some idiot wants to pet the dog. It's just putting temptation there, maybe. That's all I can think of. Let's have a look. I don't get how these people can tie their own shoes and pay bills if they can't follow a simple instruction. That's exactly my thought, Jonathan. I've always treated people as if they're sort of on a similar level to me, that you're all human and that you can understand things. This is not difficult to understand. If you are not a doctor, a nurse, or a healthcare worker of some description, or in an essential role, why are you outside? I mean, even, I know you go on your walks and Mike goes on his walks with Lola, but, you know, even that to me, one of our friends always does his 10,000 steps a day. He's religious with it. And luckily, just before this lockdown, and I know he could go out, but it would take him a long time out, more than his hour to get 10,000 steps. He'd bought a treadmill and he's in the house on a treadmill. Put it in the conservatory, opens the windows, away he goes. So why can't people do that? That's what I say. Why can't people do that? I know there are people in flats. Not many around here, though. So anybody who's out is out from a house. And there's no need. Just no need. If I was in charge, it'd be like jail, wouldn't it, Mike? Mm. I know. I'm bad. I am very bad. Oh, one of the COVID professors. Let's have a look at that. I'm having a look.
That's an interesting article. I'm just skim reading.
Pete, Donald Trump having a meltdown. That was spectacular. It was brilliant, wasn't it? The one thing with Donald Trump's press conferences is you never know what's going to happen. With the British ones, you pretty much do. It's like, oh, they've brought the Chancellor out. We're going to talk about money. Or they brought Priti Patel out. We're all going to have a laugh. But wow. Yeah, the Donald Trump ones are way, way better. Right, frost on the windshield this morning. Oh, wow. So you can't see water rationing. No, it's quite warm here. We're not at the stage of water rationing yet, or not that they've told us. But it's always a joke in the UK. You know, 2, 3, 4 days of good weather and that's it. They tell you you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't wash your car. You can't water the garden. So I'm assuming they cannot do without water right now. And it could be that. So can't I please just visit one friend? Well, that's that diagram, isn't it? Perfect isolation. Oh, yes. I'm all for that. Adding an essential worker. Hey, these are good diagrams, aren't they, Mike?
They are.
Mm. It's too much of a risk. It is too much of a risk. And plus the fact, if this was 25 years ago, 20 years ago, Mike and I were using conferencing, but it was on dial-up. So let's say 25 years ago. There'd be no Skype, there'd be no Facebook, there'd be no Twitter. There probably would have been audiobooks of some description, but there would have been a lot less to occupy yourself with than there is now. So if somebody cannot stay inside for 10 minutes because they're bored, and they need something to... What's wrong with these people? I mean, seriously, it's like a mass IQ test to me. Oh, and that guy. If you're in the UK, you will know this. I don't know if it's particularly gone worldwide yet. But was he a major or a corporal? Because if he was a major, it would be Major Tom. Let's have a look. No, it doesn't say. Right, Tom, the guy we talked about yesterday, the 99-year-old walking for the NHS, he's raised over 8 million as at about an hour ago. Isn't he amazing? 8 million. I'm trying to see what... is he a captain? Corporal? Captain. Captain Tom. Oh, wouldn't... Such a shame he wasn't a major. Major Tom. Mm. Captain Tom. Well done, Captain Tom. 8 million. And he says he's going to keep walking while people are keep giving. I can see this topping 10 million. I really can. He's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. Oh, I'm going to get that video as well, Jonathan. Go and have a look at that later. I can see this social distancing thing going on for months and months. If it supports the people who can't, then we should. But that's just me. I'm feeling very isolated in all of this right now, if you'll pardon the pun. Donald's always having a meltdown. I've seen some things that are so funny about Donald Trump. What have you seen? The one about if he was in charge of the Titanic? It's a meme doing the rounds on Facebook and it's so funny. But I mean, they all basically start off with, you know, nothing's happening, nothing to see. Well, if there is, blah, blah, blah. And then it ends up as like it was all his idea in the first place. And now he's withdrawn support for the World Health Organization. So I'm sure that's gone down well as well. Kim, your neighbour rang the doorbell. Why? That's scary. Oh, I'm very glad that we can disconnect our doorbell. I did that, bit of engineering on my part. That was because when I was a kid, we had a standard doorbell where you've got the push on the outside, a cable, and then on the inside, you've got like the bell. And it usually has batteries in it. And that's the way ours had been since forever. Then I met Mike. Now, was your doorbell at home with your mum and dad like that, on batteries and stuff?
No, I don't think it was.
So it was the same. I'd never seen a doorbell like Mike's. Yeah. Mike's was powered by the electric. So if he turned off the switch, the bell turned off. I thought that was genius. Well, Mum wouldn't have it. She didn't like people ringing on the bell, but she wouldn't have it. Anyway, when she got very, very ill, I said to Mike, I'm doing it. I'm doing it behind her back. Give us the opportunity to just turn the bell off. And I did. I MacGyvered it. Mike went and got the cable, didn't you? Oh, actually, no, there was a hiatus in the middle. You'll love this bit. Mum had decided, we'd had double glazing put in and a new porch. So Mum decided she was going to have a wireless doorbell. Let's just say it didn't end well. Absolutely did not end well. Our push rang the next door neighbour's bell and their push rang our bell. So Mum said, right, I'm done with this wireless doorbell.
And the microwave rang both.
And the microwave rang everyone in the street. It was idiotic. So I said, she said, I want it putting back as it was. And I thought, he's ripped the wire out. And I don't want any holes drilling in the new porch. And I just looked at Mike like, okay, the impossible we do today, miracles take a bit longer. But she would get very upset, wouldn't she? She was highly strung. So I said to Mike, just go get me some cable. And he said, how are you going to get it through the wall? I said, I'll think about that later, just get me the cable. So Mike went out, bought the cable. We came back in and I pondered the problem of getting the cable from the outside bell push, which also needed them replacing, through the wall. Magically, you know, like in Harry Potter where they just walk through it. Yeah, that was what I needed. So you can see I'm going well with my Harry Potter reading. Anyway, what I decided to do was go through the mortar. So there was a fraction of a gap and I sat there and chipped enough mortar out of this brick to get it through there without damaging the brickwork or the porch. So we get it inside, we goes all the way around, we hooks it up on the thing and I said to Mike, and I'm going to put a switch on it. And it's brilliant. Just switch it off. So we've got signs all over the door about where to put stuff. But to be honest, we've had those for the last 5.5 years. The Amazon men have been trained, as have Royal Mail. The instructions are there. If you are Royal Mail, open the door, place it there, close the door. And just being able to turn the bell off means if some idiot did come round, you wouldn't be compelled to look out of the window because you wouldn't be aware that the bell was ringing. And that is how we liked it. Until one Amazon man discovered that there are two bell pushes, one on the outside of the porch and one on the in. So I said to Mike, I'd have to recable it again from the inside to make that one operate with the switch. I said, so what I'll do instead is just cover it up with a sign. So there's a sign. It's an A4 piece of paper laminated and there's an arrow pointing downwards and it says place parcel here and it's covering up the bell. So now we don't get anybody ringing the bell. If they're young and healthy, hang on, where am I up to? If they're young and healthy, need to volunteer at a farm, throwing away food for lack of workers. True, we've had that here. We've also had news of local farmers, because we live in the very north part of Cheshire, we're on the Cheshire Greater Manchester border, and there's Cheshire farmers who are milk farmers. One of them was having to throw milk away. I told you there was about 4,000 litres in a day, but another one has said that they are inundated with local people wanting milk deliveries like it's 1970. Milk deliveries were kind of phased out. We used to have them when we moved in here, so that would have been 38 years ago. But once supermarkets started selling long life in bulk, you know, you didn't need a milkman. Now you do. So some businesses in Cheshire are going great guns on the fact that they're sending out milk bottles. And so eco-friendly, they're collecting the milk bottles in as well. Remember when you used to put out the dirty milk bottles? And they cleaned them and reused them? That was recycling at its best. Well, apparently it's coming back. So hopefully some of that will stay. I think that's brilliant. So Jonathan's sister wants Chris Whitty to be knighted at the end of all this. She's turned her attention to Captain Tom. Oh, Captain Tom, absolutely. He needs a knighthood and he needs it now. It's coming up to the Queen's Birthday Honours List. Just saying, Queenie. That would be nice. I did hear Donald Trump's voice with that Titanic meme, I must admit. I don't know how he gets away with it. I really don't know. He just goes from bad to worse and seems to get away with it. Mind you, our politicians aren't much to write home about, are they? But the Titanic. There was another one about Trump, and it wasn't the Titanic. I'll have to see if I can find it and save it. When you say your doorbell would have to have the wires cut to turn it off, that's exactly what I did, Kim. I took the wire. It's a very simple, just two, what do they call it? Two gang wire. And I just cut it. And then I put a flip switch between it. So just something like you'd have on a bedside light. And it's enough to break the circuit. And then when you want it turned on, push it down again. We then stuck that where at the top of a window, basically, near the front door. I said to Mike I would have done this properly, but, you know, mum's already creating. And what I would have done normally was buy a light switch and run it through that so it looked like just like a light switch. This one, you can hardly see it. It is literally glued at the top of the window frame. And I knew which on and off was, but Mike said I'm never quite sure. So I put red on one side when it's off and green on the other when it's on. But it's just a tiny, tiny switch. I must have been the only person who was not aware that there are electric doorbells, but we never had one, ever, anywhere we'd been. Even a brand new build house did not have an electric doorbell. In fact, it didn't have any doorbell. We had to put one in. This one, it's so funny. Those batteries have not been changed in 38 years either. They are still going strong. If they ever went, we'd change them, but I don't think they've ever been changed. You should see the state of them. The branding on them is so old, it's unbelievable. But yeah, just cut them, Kim, and put a switch in. It's fabulous. Oh, Anthony, you've gone posh there. Radio controlled and different ringtones for different doors. I'm loving that. No, we don't go anything like that. I think we must have bought a popular one. And then our main problem with it was the fact that you ring next door's bell and it rang here, you rang ours, it rang theirs. But to be honest, your mother needed a new one as well, and that was her problem. It was a wireless one, and that didn't work either. So you must have a fabulous one, because I've never seen one that's worked yet. When we fixed it, next door said, our bell's not ringing at all now. You know, what happened to yours? And I said, we put the wire back in. And she said, I'm going to have to change this. Because at least if ours rang, we'd just kind of go out and shout and say, no, it's for next doors. But now she's getting nothing at all. Have to sort that out. So Pete says, was listening to Matt Bites earlier, didn't know you were a lawyer before an IT guru. How come you made the change? Oh, that's simple, Pete. I was in two minds when I was a kid, like you, wanting to be Tom Cruise. In two minds. Lawyer, because I think I told you this. My teacher's daughter came back from bar school. Fully rigged out, came in, explained what a barrister did, what lawyers did, and I thought, that's for me. And then computers became big in the early 80s, and I was like, I'm loving that. And my mum said to me, you'd make a great lawyer, but I think you'd be great with computers as well. So I said, right, here's what I'm going to do. I didn't want to stay on at school to do A-levels. I wanted to go to the local college. Didn't like school. Hated it, in fact. So I left and I went to college, and at college I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do economics because I'm good at it, because I'd done commerce at O-level, and I'll do law and I'll do computing, and then I'll make my mind up. So goes down to sign-on day, already sorted out what I was going to do, to be told there was no computer classes. Not enough demand. You're like, really? This was the start of, this was 1983. So there were plenty of computers, and I would have thought plenty of demand. What I think actually happened was they had far too many sociology lecturers and not enough people interested in taking sociology, me included. but they shoved me on that one as well. So I couldn't do the computing one, but I did do my law A level. So I enjoyed it so much. I did my O level in it, and then halfway through, everybody else dropped out. And that left me. And they wouldn't run an A level just for me. But my tutor was fabulous and said he'd teach me one-on-one for a year, and he did. So I then applied to university, and law was the obvious thing to do because it was the thing that I'd spent most time doing. Didn't really have much time with the computers because although there was a computer lab, it was locked. Fantastic. So I did that, went to London and studied law. Then in between years two and three, there was you could write an essay. And if this essay was good enough, you got to go to Oxford. So they picked about three of us, I think, to write this essay. And I wasn't in. I thought, no chance, not bothered. And I was all for going back and doing my final year when a letter came. And I thought, oh, good. You know, this is my where I'm signing on next term. And apparently it was Oxford. So I went to Oxford and I did a postgrad before I'd actually graduated. Yeah, sort of. It was 8 months in Oxford, 2 months in the Sorbonne. And it was all about my favourite topic, which was medical malpractice. Sorry about that, Pete. But that was my specialist subject. That was why I wanted to be a lawyer. Yeah, sorry about that. Came back from that, so passed all of that, came back, did my last year in London whilst working a job in Manchester. Yeah, there was a lot of travel involved. Then when I'd finished, CQ Deb, then when I'd finished, I did a year at Chester, Chrysalton in Chester, which was preparing you to be a solicitor. In between time, I'd done work for what was at the time, those were the days, Pete, the only practice dedicated to medical malpractice in the UK, did some work there, came out of Chester and ended up working in personal injury cases, which I absolutely adored. Not as much as medical malpractice, but I did like it. Problem was, so this is the big reveal, problem was, didn't enjoy working with lawyers. I'm sure you can imagine it's not great. It's too...
Don't tell Jonathan
what? Working with lawyers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jonathan must feel the same. Some lawyers are fabulous and some aren't. And unfortunately, the ones I worked with weren't. And then what happened... The practice I worked for put in a system, a computerised system for dealing with the cases. And it wasn't dedicated for what he did, which was personal injuries. It was a criminal system. So all of the stuff in the system, like there was an alternative date address, and it was basically when they were convicted and you sent them letters to prison. It wasn't really configured for personal injury. So he said, can you do something with it? So I'm looking at this big database thing, thinking, yeah, probably. So I redesigned all of that. And then when it was redesigned, he then wanted people trained in it. So all of the secretaries needed to be trained. And that fell on my shoulders as well. And as I'm training them, I'm thinking, this is what Mike does for a living. And I actually prefer it. So I left in that summer and I requalified. So I then had to do a load of Microsoft exams. They're lovely, aren't they, Mike? Mm. Yeah, he doesn't like them. So I did my Windows 95 conversion. Then I did my Windows NT4. Who remembers those? Then I went all the way through doing my Microsoft Certified System Engineer, Microsoft Certified Database Architect. What was the other one? Developer. Microsoft Certified Solution Developer. So it was something like 30 odd exams in about 17 months. And that was how I became that I worked in computers. There you go. Working with lawyers, not the best. Let's just say that, not the best. I think I was made to work with, for myself, Mike.
Yeah.
As Mike well knows. Right, so Kim's mum's telling her about a guy who owned a meat market prior to the virus and roll on meat per order. That's so good. A lot of the businesses here are saying, you know, they are viable, but they can't get these government loans. So there's a lot of trouble about that at the moment. So we'll see how that goes. Right, I'm still scrolling. Wireless interference. Got a wireless mic for the PA system in the meeting room, and one day heard a strange noise coming from the meeting room. Someone was singing and yee-hawing. Brilliant, brilliant. Love it, Anthony. Didn't we have some trouble with that? Oh, it was when we were away, wasn't it? And we had interference.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, it was a taxi. It sounded like a taxi. But the thing was, we didn't hear it while we were recording. So that's going to be interesting. But fabulous. So you surprised, Pete. Was that wow for me? Some lawyers are brilliant. Others are rather full of themselves and have a rather large God complex. You're not kidding, Jonathan. They do. They do. I did meet some really good ones, even some of the barristers that you would imagine, you know. Put it like this. At the solicitors, when the barristers came, it was like roll out the red carpet. And I was quite like, yeah, whatever. But some of them were lovely. They were really lovely and they did care an awful lot. But there's also someone working with them day in, day out. It's just soul destroying. And I thought, they're not thinking. You're in a particular practice that specialised in either medical negligence or personal injury, and they didn't care. And I don't believe you can do that job effectively if you don't care, at least on some level. And some of the people I had to work with, well, what happened with one, Mike?
You tell the story. So much better than me.
You were never supposed to be left as a trainee without your principal in attendance physically. But mine went skiing and left me with this guy who wasn't legally qualified. He was, what do they call them? No. From an idiot. A paralegal. Right, he wasn't legally qualified at all. I was. But he'd been there longer than I had. So my principal left me with this case and I had to go to court with this case. And this guy was supposed to be getting me up to speed on this case. Now, this is actually a true story. It's terrifying, but it's a true story. I did not have the file and I was due in court at 10 o'clock. So I'm waiting for the file to come from the other office. The mail arrives from the other office. This file's not with it. I'm screaming blue murder. How can I go in and represent this person when I don't have the file? But by this stage, it was 9:10 and we were going nowhere. So I gets on the phone and I'm screaming at them, I need this file, I need it now. There was no way they could get it to me. It was coming from a place called Bury, which was about 25 miles away. So it was too late to get this file there now. It was a mistake at their end. So it was just another branch of another office belonging to the same solicitors. And I thought, you're absolute idiots. So by this stage, it's 9:30. So I career down to the post room and I grabs a junior on the way. And I said, right, I've got a case. Now, we used to colour code the cases. So I said to her first, what colour would this file be? So she said, red. I said, have we got a red file? She said, yes. So she gets a red file out, brand new. They were two paper files glued together on the flap. And it was pristine. And I looked at it and thought, well, that's not going to do. So I said, can you get me some scrap paper? So she heads off to get some A4 paper. I takes this file and I write the file name on the front of it and I put the case number on it. I then put the file on the floor and dance up and down on it. And that's what I'm doing when she comes back in with the scrap paper. She by this time is thinking that I need locking up. So I said to her, it's all in hand. And she said, what are you doing? So I said, this case has been going on for 5 years. I said, the file would not look new. Good point, she said, as she got a duster to clean off the worst of it. So I said, have you got the scrap paper? So she said, yeah. So I puts it in the file and she said, it's scrap paper. And I said, I know that. You know that. The judge does not know that. And she said, you're not. I said, what else can I do? So I headed off to court. No, naturally, I headed back off to my office. I get to my bag. I've got this file under my arm of scrap paper. I am a junior and I am heading off to represent somebody and I have no idea what's going on. So I gets to the top of the stairs. This guy who's supposed to have been helping me, massive air quotes, finally crawls out of his office in that kind of languid, laid back, I'm a movie star kind of way. 9:58, got to be at court for 10. Stands in front of me and says, I'll help you now. I said, get out of my way. You know, I need to get to court. And I need to get to court now. Wouldn't budge. No, I've got to help you. I decked him. I am proud to say I floored him. So I'm stood there with my handbag over one shoulder and my binder under the other. And I said, if you don't move, I will knock you out of the way. And he didn't move. So I knocked him out of the way and left him sprawled on the top of the stairs. I went off to court, got there. Well, you should have seen the state of me. But I thought, well, I'll just do my best. So we get there and then the judge is saying, like, well, look, where's such and such a piece of paper? And I thought, he's looking at me. I said, I'll just find that for you, my lord. And I open the file and obviously I'm looking at scrap paper. And I'm thinking, you know, how long do you pretend to look before you admit this? And luckily the guy opposite, I'd been really nice to the guy of the opposition. And he said, do you want to use mine? And I said, if you would, please. I said, it's there, but it's not actually my case. So he gave me a couple of pieces of paper from his file and we put them before the judge and we did a little bit of arguing here and a little bit of arguing there. And I won the case. No, I don't know how either. When I got back, he was nursing a black eye, but he never said another word to me. Thank God. So, yes, can you see why law? Not really my thing. No, it was the people I worked with. That's the trouble with it. Just the people I work. Good night, Johnny.
See you, Johnny.
Yes. So I have the absolute best. Right, let me go back a bit. Oh, Kim, in the US, it seems to be prestigious to get a Rhodes Scholarship to Oxford. What's the take of these scholarships in the UK? Yeah, it is. You know, say you're a Rhodes Scholar. We did have a few at Oxford. My college was University College, which was on the High Street. What was comical was there's no parking in Oxford. It's all bikes. And I had to stay in a hotel. So I was allowed to take my car in. So I was really pleased. I had that. But yeah, there were Rhodes Scholars there. It is seen as being prestigious. But there again, you do tend to just take the mick out of everybody no matter what. So everybody just treats everybody as equal when you're there, really, to be honest. So Kim says, residence including an anaesthetist rotation and surgical suite. You're running out of the gas. Oh, my God.
That's scary, isn't
that
it?
That is scary. That is scary. But, you know, this is how they treat you as juniors, that as though it's like a baptism of fire. But it would have been tricky enough to go to court without the case file. I mean, I'm literally scribbling down who's who as I'm going. So, you know, what's the name of the client? How old is the client? What car was the client driving? And you're scribbling that as I'm heading up the high street. So I've got the junior on the other end of the line with me. So that cost him a fortune because it was early days of mobile phones. It was about £1 a minute. And on the other phone, so she had two phones. She was on the phone to the Bury office on one phone and on the phone to me on the other. And she was relaying it to me as I was going in. So I had nothing but the basic information. And I told her straight, keep the phone by you. And if I ring you, I wasn't paying for a call, trust me. I said, if I call you, I'll hang up, you phone me back. And I said, I don't care who wants what, just sit in my office, lock the door and pretend you're not there. And that was how we did it. Ludicrous. But yeah, I enjoyed the black eye bit myself. Yeah, he never bothered me again. Funny that. And then I got a lecture when the guy got back from his skiing holiday. I got a lecture about working cooperatively with your co-workers. He literally took me in and he started explaining how doctors work and how you all have to get on in an operating theatre. And he got this big page out of the Times or the Telegraph and it was saying like how they worked hard but they played hard and all the rest of it. And he said, I want to say something and I don't want you to interrupt. And I said, before you start, if you don't want me to interrupt, it's not going to be to my benefit, so never mind. Only not quite in those words. Yeah, I said it was best just to leave it and we would work together if and when we ever needed to. Funnily enough, we never needed to. And I left about 8 weeks later, 8 months later. It was quite a while later. But we never spoke after that, me and this other guy. We'd kind of just like grunt or nod. He was an idiot. He was a complete idiot. But when you say, get out of my way or I will flatten you. I mean, did I not look like I was capable of flattening him, Mike?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. He didn't. He must have thought he was stronger than me. That was a big mistake. Yeah, I get that, Pete. But, you know, in an operating theatre with medics, Each one's got a speciality. Each one does their job, is capable of doing their job. And I wouldn't imagine a peacock would last long. Someone who just flounced around, listening to conversations and then reporting back to the big chief, he wouldn't last 5 minutes. But unfortunately, with lawyers, they're the ones who get on. And the rest of you who are so interested in doing good work, winning cases, making a difference, you tend to get ignored for people like that. Now, I mean, the problem was either him or my principal. He should have sacked him. And the thing was, when I actually said to my principal, you have no idea what he is like, he said, yes, I do. I said, what'd you keep him on for then? He gives me useful information. I said, he's a rat, you mean? You can't have a rat on the team. It doesn't work. Oh, I'd be surprised, would I? Oh, dear. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. No, I can't be doing with rats. I don't discuss anything with rats. There was a rat at the other company I worked for. He was another one. Paralegal, not actually qualified. Used to hang around behind... we had cubicles then. I was much more a junior at that stage. I don't think I'd even graduated at that stage. But we had these cubicles and you would find him lurking behind the cubicles. He was only about 5'2". And you'd stand up to get something and he'd be there and he'd be listening to conversations to report back to the guy who owned the place. I don't understand that mentality. I really don't. I've got this vision of you all working happily together, Pete, so leave me with it. Leave me with it. I know there are some doctors, but we know a couple of doctors, don't we? You know, retired consultants. Mm. And they say it as it is and I admire them for it. Can't repeat what one of them said, but it was good. It was funny and it was bang on accurate. So I admire him. Actually, I felt quite sorry for him. I think he had to retire early, didn't he?
Yeah.
With, what do you call it? Parkinson's. Yeah. But he was a fantastic surgeon and had to retire early with Parkinson's. But at least he says it as it is and I admire that. Currently enjoying Silk. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. Silk was more accurate than most. I enjoyed that. Is that? Oh, now, who was in that? Oh, Rupert. Was it Rupert Penry-Jones? Or am I getting confused? Let me have a look. I actually happen to have there. Let's get it up. Is that the new one or the old one? I think there was another one. That's Rupert Penry-Jones, isn't it? Maxine Peake, that was the one. The only bit of that I found absolutely ludicrous was this episode where... there was a lad, not the brightest, and she stood up for him against, like, basically the mob. And I thought, that's a bit too far. But the rest of it was pretty accurate. And, what was his name? Neil Stook. He plays Billy Lamb, who is the in charge of the office. He is amazing. That is fantastic. Love that one. Have you seen Rumpole? Rumpole's far more comedic, but some of the stuff that goes on there is absolutely accurate. We've got a link there. Have you ever seen Green Wing? I had that on my list to watch, Pete. Is it available on Amazon Prime Video? Because if it is, I'm going to watch it. It's a Prime Video, a Green Wing. Oh, I know one that I watched. It was a BBC one. Oh, what was it called? Oh, it's going to bug me now. Medical drama, Mike. BBC comedy. Helen Baxendale was in it. Is this ringing any bells, Pete? And I thought that one, I was told that one was pretty accurate. Let me see what that was called. Baxendale.
Have a look. Cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest, that's the one. Oh, dear, there's a Dr. Helen Baxendale at Papworth. Cardiac arrest, that was the one. I did see some of that. Andrew Lincoln. That was the other fellow, wasn't it? I've actually found this because there's a new one called Critical, written by Jed Mercurio, who writes Line of Duty.
Right, I'm going next door.
Enjoy yourself. Mike's going on a teleconference like it's 1972.
At 10 pence a minute.
At 10 pence a minute, which, you know, you could well get more entertainment out of a sex chat line, just saying.
I might try that.
Oh, bless. Enjoy. See you later, Mike.
Bye.
Yes, so I'm right with cardiac arrest. The bit of that I remember was who played the older doctor? But he was fabulous. And he was blowing up a catheter with cold tea. That was fantastic. I love that bit. I love it. I'd like to think it was all like ER and George Clooney, but I'm sure it's not. Very similar to your house here. Oh, good grief. Well, there's a new one called Critical. What date was this? That's 5 years ago. Surely that must have been out there now. Let's have a look. Didn't think Line of Duty had been going 5 years. 2017 it came out. Who was in it? Claire Skinner, Lenny James. Lenny James is in pretty much everything that guy writes. Anybody else we know? No. And it only had 13 episodes, and I've not seen them. There was a medical one that I saw on iPlayer that I hadn't seen, and I thought, you know, marooned, I'll give that a go. Now, what was that one called? That had Max Beasley in it. Was it Max Beasley? I'm sure it was Max Beasley. Let's have a look. I downloaded it, but I didn't actually get to start watching it. Bodies. Is that about medics? Needless death of a patient, blah, blah, blah. Yes. So I've got that one to watch. How's that one, Pete? Let me know. The guy faking having paralysed legs was a good one. You look like George Clooney. Oh, that's good. That's good, Pete. You've got to remember, you did video. You did video with me on that Skype call. I know exactly what you look like. Do you know, he's not actually wrong. MASH. I didn't get to see MASH. Yes, you were quite right with Bodies. Bodies was good. Excellent. But the book was better. The book's always better. I'm enjoying Harry Potter. I'm telling myself what I'm doing is testing Brave. But actually, I'm just enjoying Harry Potter. I'm up to chapter 10. He's just got his Nimbus 2000. Is this ringing any bells with anybody, please? I know I'm terribly behind with it. What can I say? But I am enjoying it, albeit however many years late, probably about 25 years late. Did anybody see the article about Apple tracking you? What do we think about that one? Oh, and then there was the other idiots. I kept telling myself George Clooney was a bad connection. Well, he wasn't your hero, was he? No, the other guy was. What's his name? Anthony Edwards. You definitely weren't Anthony Edwards. Far younger. Far younger. My mum watched the films of Harry Potter and she enjoyed them. But I thought the film's never as good as the book. So I'll wait and I'll read the book. And I just never got round to it. But now this one, the first one is free. I thought, well, I'll give it a listen. They were actually on my wish list. They just never seemed to come on offer. And I tend to use I've got a 2-credit subscription with Audible. So I tend to use my credits in a way that I can get 2 books for one credit and stuff like that. They actually had a sale on in the UK that went off this morning. So last night, there I am thinking, what books have I got that I would like the summary of? So basically that people write summaries of usually self-development books. And I find the summaries are actually quite helpful just to sort of get back into it quickly. So I'm looking at these books, ends up buying quite a few of them. They were £1.55. What can I say? First order went through no problem at all. Put the second order through. The order appeared. The books didn't. I didn't get a confirmation. And this has happened before. And I thought, here we go again. So I sent them a mail. And I had to set an alarm for myself this morning because the deal went off at 10 o'clock, which I know sounds alarmingly late for most of you. But seeing as though I didn't actually get to bed till 4:30 was quite early for me. So I put an alarm on for 9:30 and then it went off and I looked at it like, what did I do that for? And then I thought, oh, yes, I remember. So I went in and checked my mail. I hadn't had a mail from them. So I went in and checked the account. The books had appeared, which was good because I wanted to buy one more. So I then bought one more book and went back to bed. So I have plenty of books, but I've never actually had the Harry Potter. But now I'm over halfway through the first one. I can foresee I will be using some of my credits on the other. How many are there? 7? Another 7? Is it 7 or 8 books? Is it Stephen Fry? It is indeed the Stephen Fry one. Goose. I always forget his name. I know Maverick and the other one. What was the other one? Oh, God, the one married to Joanne Waller-Kilmer. Val Kilmer. He was... No, it's escaped me now. I only know Maverick. Oh, I'm bad. I can't remember. It's a long time since I saw that film, but it was a good film. Yeah, it's the Stephen Fry one. I have heard very, very good things about the Jim Dale one, but I've never heard those. So if you've listened to Iceman, that's the fella Iceman. You see, you remember. They're excellent. You like it. Yeah, he is very, very good. I've actually got another book that I bought a while ago, a long time ago. And again, it's one of these, I really want to listen to that, but I want to give myself enough time. Whereas actually what I should do is just start listening to it. But it's a Stephen Fry read of Sherlock Holmes, and it's the whole lot. Came out about, when did that come out? A couple of years ago? Let's have a look. 2017. Yeah, 3 years ago. And I managed to get it either reduced or for one credit. And it's 71, it's 72 hours long, actually. It's 71 hours, 57 minutes. And I thought, when are you going to listen to this? It's got everything in it. It is the complete Sherlock Holmes. And I know Stephen Fry is so good. And I wanted to really enjoy it. So I think what I'm going to do to myself is say, you know, 15 minutes every night. I do that, actually, with my Kindle. And on my Kindle, I'm currently reading. There you go. What are you currently reading? Are you reading any books or listening to any books? Let me know. I'm currently reading one called The Anglesey Murders, Unholy Island. And it's an author that I've read a lot of his other works. He is very good. It's very much, it's not going to be a literary classic, but he's very good. And he only started writing, before that he worked in McDonald's. He started writing in the aftermath of the Warrington bomb, which was about 23, 24 years ago. And he's since self-published about 40 novels. He's amazing, the speed he kicks them out at. But I give myself 15 minutes before bed on my Kindle. And I'm desperate to get to the end of this one because I want to know what happens. Then I think I should probably look at the Harry Potter, shouldn't I? But the Stephen Fry one I want to listen to is heckishly long. I think they're all in the right order as well. There are six parts to it. Heaven knows if it downloads it in one chunk. But I would love to know how long that took him to record. But that's what I'm on next. You've got that and you're still at the very start. Yeah, that's the thing with it. It does put you off because it's so long. I'm wondering if you come to download it, if it does download in parts. It says six parts. So it gives you an opening chapter with credits and introductions. Then there are two full books, A Study in Scarlet and The Sign of Four. Only the first half of The Sign of Four. So you need part two for the second half of that, and then The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. So it is actually broken up quite oddly, but I guess that's just because it's so big. So if you've just started, how far are you into it? Need to know these things. Is nobody else reading anything? Come on, let me know what you're reading or watching. I've got lots of stuff to watch as well. I did download Bodies, though, so I'm going to give that a go. Bodies wasn't that long ago, was it? Oh, good grief, 16 years ago. Now, why did I think that was yesterday? And Max Beasley, looking at him now, he's like a grown-up version of Rupert Grint. Very much so, with darker hair. Absolutely. I wonder how Mike's conference is going. And did I post in this last COVIDiot? Because this one was in our area. Pete's going to despair with this one. Have you seen this one, Pete? They stopped off in Manchester. You don't think that's too much of a problem until you realise they were travelling from London to Glasgow and then back from Glasgow to London. You know that thing about visiting one person? Yeah, don't do that. Not if they're in London and you're in Glasgow. reading a book called About Face. Have I seen that one? I have lots and lots of books. One day I'll tell you how many books I've got in my Kindle. But not until you're all sat down with some libation. About Face. Let's have a look. No, that wasn't the one I bought. I'm trying to remember now which one I did buy. Right, let's have a look. Military biography. Good but long. Let's have a look. There's a as a paperback and a hardback. The hardback being £85 plus delivery. Wow. What was the one I was reading from the Army? Can't remember the title of it now. I did Pete 500 miles for a day in the peaks. I did. And there was a classic photo as well. Let me see if I can find that. I actually did wonder if this was true, and I wouldn't have been in the slightest bit surprised if it was. Where did I shove those? Did I put it in my inbox to sort out later? The infamous sort it out later. Quite possibly. I'll find it and post it tomorrow. There you go. Call it incentive. I don't know where I put that. That's scary. There's another inbox there. We should do a thing of how many inboxes you've got. Somebody's got more than is good for her. No, it's not in that one. I'll find it and send it on. But these people are just crazy. They are crazy. Right. Yep, got that one now. I shall put that on my list. Guy ran away from school at 14 to join the Merchant Marines. Paid a tramp to pose as his dad. Oh, wow. So he could sign up. Served in Europe, in the Cold War, Korea and Vietnam. Wow. Wow, what is that book that I have just started reading? My problem is I start far too many books. I've got them all on the go at the same time. And Mike says, how can you do that? And I say, well, you know, you watch multiple TV series. I read multiple books. It depends what mood I'm in. I did get the Audible version, though, as well. I tend to do that a lot. Sometimes I actually sit there with the book, the physical book on the Kindle, and the audio book. There's one that I'm halfway through at the moment, and it's brilliant. It's called Work Clean, and it's about a concept called mise en place, which is how chefs work. And I've got the Kindle book that I'm highlighting and making notes on as I go, but I'm actually listening to the audio book at the same time. But I have a lot of audiobooks, and I have even more Kindle books. I'm dreadful. I'm like a little digital squirrel. But that's what I do. It's like, can you stay at home? No, I'm bored. And I say, can't you read a book? That's why. That's why. Because I just read and read and read and read. Oh, I can't find this one there. It's only showing me 20 per page, crying out loud. And I've got so many books. I'll find it and we'll discuss books tomorrow. There we go. I'll find the one. Find the ones that are my favourites. I've got a few series that I read as well. What type of books does everybody else read? Just starting part two. Excellent. Send the link to that book. I will. Is this the book that I'm talking about? This army one, or is it a different book? Let me know, Paul. When I find the darn thing, I will. Oh, did you mean the Sherlock Holmes one? Let me know which book and I'll send it to you. I'm definitely going to start listening to the Sherlock Holmes Stephen Fry because I'm enjoying him in Harry Potter so much. Was he actually in the film of Harry Potter? He wasn't, was he? I'm thinking of Alan Rickman, who played Snape. I did see pictures of him because I had a girlfriend ages ago. We lost touch, but she had it bad for Snape, which I didn't think at the time was a good thing. Although Alan Rickman, quite nice. Nice on the eye. Oh, where is this book? Oh, I was also in the middle of one about the shooting of Olaf Palme, the Swedish president. I'm in the middle of so many books. Right, let's see which one it was. The one I'm listening to and highlighting in the Kindle. Oh, right, no problem. That one I can certainly help you with. I know exactly where that one is. Right, let me get it. It's very, very good. It. You wouldn't think so in terms of... it seems a bit niche by comparison to Getting Things Done. But to be honest, I can see the benefits of it. At the beginning, it seems quite long-winded. So that one is Work Clean. It seems a bit long-winded. He goes into a lot of explanation and storytelling. But to be honest, I enjoy that because then I will remember it. I remember the story. I also bought for that one, I think. Let me just check Audible. Where's my list of however many thousand books? Work Clean. Was that the one that didn't have that? Nope, that was a 4-week. No, wasn't that one. Right, let me take that off the end. And there we go. This is a horrible URL, which I will shorten for you. But I'm sure now you've got the book, you'd find it on Audible anyway. But that is Work Clean, the audiobook. There we go. These are really good books. I'm loving these. I did read some Jeffrey Deaver. I think I read about the first three or four. I was reading them in order. And I've got them. I bought them from a secondhand bookshop. They were like new. And I think I bought about 15 or 16 of his. And right, they went right through from like the first one. And I think I got as far as number three. And literally the problem was they were paperbacks. And I went Kindle. But I've got them lined up, so I'll get back to those as well. I've decided I'm taking more time off as I reach the desperate stage for sleep. My dad used to love reading Clive Cussler. He absolutely adored those. There was one I wanted to read, Pete, and the name stuck with me. It was it the Butcher's Theatre? It was the Something Theatre. I'm hoping I've got the right author. Something Theatre. Let me have a look. Do we have all the books of Jeffrey Deaver? Oh, he looks like Chris Whitty. Take those glasses off and he's Chris Whitty. I'll have to check out his book list, but I'm sure it was him. It had a green front to it. I'll find it. The Spark of Life, Electricity in the Human Body. Wow. Heat of the Moment, about firefighters making decisions. And an utterly impartial history of Britain. We could definitely do with that. There are some amazing books out there. I just love books. I'd rather read a book than watch a film or watch TV or anything. I absolutely love books. I like listening to them when I'm doing like mindless stuff. Don't take this the wrong way. But Mike and I I've created a system. Mike tags along and agrees with me if he knows what's good for him. Bless him. But we've created a system for MacBytes, and there's quite an intense admin job that's probably about 3 hours, about once a quarter. And you sit down and you put all the shows in, and then you put the numbers in and you link them up with the emails and all the rest of it. And it's mind numbing. It is literally just hook, 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 etc. So that's when I will put on an audiobook, something that I can concentrate on, because what I'm doing is actually mindless. But the Work Clean one, I'm happy to recommend that. It's brilliant. I was thinking there was a summary of it. I was mentioning that I sometimes buy summary books. So there was a book, even GTD, there are GTD summary books. So when you've read it, you will make your own notes, but I actually find it quite useful to listen to somebody's summary of it. Let me see if I can find one, because I know I've got at least two of those. So I've got GTD summary. I think you can probably get them on Amazon, but I tend to listen to them. Where are we? Giant Within. Why are you not coming up if I put GTD? Maybe it was called Getting Things Done. Summary. Things Done. Summary. There's one. Right. One of them was very, very good. There's actually more than one. But that's the one I've got, and it was very, very good. So something like this. It's 23 minutes. So you get the idea. It's not that long. It literally picks out the highlights and gives you, what I do is I listen to the summary and use that to make a framework. And then when I'm listening to the real book, I've got a framework to slot the notes into. So that one is GTD summary. So just, there's more than one of them. That's just the one that I happened to get because it was on offer. Let's have a look. It is, it doesn't tell you the price when you bought it. That's not helpful, is it? That's not helpful in the slightest. Let's see how much that is in the UK. Come on, let's open it up in another tab. Open it up in Mike's tab. And I still can't see. Oh, hang on. £3.19. So the summary books tend to be incredibly cheap. If you wait until there's a 50% off sale, which I did, then I got them for £1.55, £1.60, something like that. I don't use them instead of a book, but they are quite helpful. I listened to the one about checklists. Has anybody read the Checklist Manifesto? Guami, he's a surgeon. Well, I think he worked for the World Health Organization or some organization like, who's the other one? Medicine Sans Frontières, something like that. And he made a checklist for surgeons. And basically, this book is all about that. So he definitely does it from the perspective of being a surgeon. But it's very good. Now, he used a few stories and he gives you, that's the one, that's the fella, Guande. He gives you very detailed stories, like the medical story of what actually happened, which is great. And like I say, the story means you're likely to remember it. But when you go and you listen to the summary, and the guy in the summary summarises this long, rambling 20-page epic about the surgery into its essence of two sentences, you then quickly move on to the next point. So I actually find both of them incredibly valuable. I've listened to Checklist Manifesto twice, I think, the full book, and the summary about three times. It is very, very good. I would recommend that one, Pete. As I say, it can be quite long-winded in terms of the actual story. He gives you every single detail, but he doesn't hide away from the fact that one of the stories that he'd got was the fact that he had made a mistake and the guy was on the table. He pulled through, but only just, and was left, I think he had a limp after that permanently, or something else. He was never, ever going to be 100% afterwards. But the guy, fair play to him, didn't sugarcoat it. He said it was a mistake on his part. And he'd asked the guy, could he relay the story in this book? And the guy said yes, because he wanted people to learn as well. So that was a really, really good book. The only thing with it, for me, was it didn't have enough examples of checklists in it. He would talk about medicine, he would talk about aviation, and he will say things like a checklist shouldn't be too long that people lose interest in it, it should be focused, it should be this, but he didn't actually say, so here's a checklist and actually show you one. But he gave you enough grounding to go away and think about making your own and making them useful. So, yeah, read that one. That one's worth reading. But you could, you know, read the summary first and get the gist of it. But I do think the stories would have benefit. Oh, that's been great. I love to hear what everybody's listening to. I've seen that podcast, 30 Minutes to the Moon. Haven't had chance. The one I listened to on Sounds was Death in Ice Valley, which was amazing. What made that even better was, and I'm so annoyed I couldn't do both, I wanted to do two things, but last February, we went to a podcast conference in Birmingham in the UK, and it was a whole day of podcasting. We absolutely loved it, because you can imagine, we don't know anybody else who podcasts in terms of face-to-face. We know lots of people online who podcast, but actually a physical meetup of those who podcast, not many. We know Ruth and John, and that's about it. And they probably live about 40 miles away. So we don't actually get to meet very often people who podcast. So we went down to this thing, not knowing what to expect. And it was fantastic. And the people from Ice Valley, who did the Ice Valley podcast, had gone there. But you could either do one of the things we wanted to do, which was meet the guy with Hindenburg, or you could do the Ice Valley thing. So I had to skip the Ice Valley thing. I was so peeved. But Ice Valley is very, very good. But I did the Hindenburg thing, and obviously that was more important because I gave him a long list of improvements and he spent the last year working through it. And every time there's an update, I'm like, oh, that's one of mine. And he hasn't asked for more money yet, which was good. Oh, and there was a competition as well. You could put your business card in a hat, and there was a couple of prizes. One was a laptop bag branded Hindenburg, and the other was 2 years worth of Hindenburg. Well, obviously, I'd already got that, but I was in first and I popped my business card in first. And then you had to be there at the end of the day, obviously, to take your prize away. So I rolled up at the end of the day, and there was me and this other guy. And that was it. Nobody else had remembered to go. And he said, do you know what? He said, you've got the software, haven't you? I said, yep. He said, you have the software, you have the bag, I'm off. It was brilliant. We wanted to go this year, but unfortunately, they put it on the 6th of February, and the 6th of February is Munich Day. And I couldn't choose to go to a podcast conference instead of going to Munich. So we're hoping next year it will be a much better time for us and we'll go. The other thing was, a lot of the podcasts there were the same genre. They were dramas, and I had no idea how big the drama thing was, because all the ones I listened to are either technical related or pretty much crime and that's it. But these were proper little stories that people had written, and they were casting for actors, and it was brilliant. It was amazing to see it. Met some great people there, and yeah, it was definitely worth going. If that happens again in the UK, we should all turn up, shouldn't we? Birmingham, pretty central. It was at the, is it Millennium Point? Near the University, Millennium Point, I think. So it's bang in the centre, but it's right next to a car park, because I had visions of it being at the NEC. There are lots of car parks at the NEC, and none of them are near a front door. They are like 5 miles away. But no, it was lovely. It was really good to go there. So I'll like cereal, will I? The one I was listening to was a BBC one. Was it Nolan? Is it Nolan on Crime, Northern Ireland one? Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, Nolan True Crime. And I'm also almost at the end, no spoilers, of Teacher's Pet, which I thought started well and then got long and drawn out. So I just want to get to the end of it now. I listened to the first 4 episodes, I think, of Nolan True Crime. Oh, there's only been 4 episodes. That explains it. So, yeah, I've listened to that one. And that was pretty good as well. And another one in Northern Ireland. So, yeah, I like those. But I'm pretty... The bottle did it. Don't ruin it for me, Pete. So that's the best one you've heard. That's the one about... I already knew the case. I think that's why I gave it a skip. Because I already knew the case. Can't remember his name. But I knew that. And I'd seen... I think it's about a 3-hour drama on it, so I thought, well, I'll see that, leave it, see how it goes. But yeah, I'll probably go back and have a look at it. But you see how many things I've got on my I must read, I must listen to list. Thousands. But that's what I do while Mike's doing his telecon. He literally has to pay 10 pence a minute to attend this meeting. Why aren't they doing it on Zoom? I have no idea either. But bless him, he's next door. I said stay here, and he said no, I might have to speak. He doesn't even know if he's going to get to speak on it. I'm going to get him. Oh, I can hear him talking. So obviously he has. I'll get him to tell you all about it tomorrow. All about it. I actually did have an idea while we're talking about books. Book bites. How about a bit in Mac Bites of Book Bites, where you give a review of a book? I'm liking that myself. Wonder if we can persuade Jonathan to do a review. Who's up to do a review of a podcast or a book they have heard or read? There's an idea. Book Bites. That would work. You'd get all about Alex Ferguson's autobiography, parts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8, unabridged by Mike. He's read every one. That guy was writing autobiographies when he was in his 30s. I swear he was. I don't tend to read that many autobiographies. Most of mine are things like The Checklist Manifesto, Getting Things Done, that kind of book. Love that. And they are books that I can go back to and dip into and read again and get inspired by. That's the idea anyway. But it works for me. So let me know if Book Bites would work for you. You've all gone very quiet now. So I'll have to do the goodbye from Mike thing, won't I? Because he's not in and he's not likely to be until 9 o'clock. And if we went until 9 o'clock, you'd all be asleep. So I will say good night from me. Good night from Mike. We will both see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. In the meantime, you have one thing to do, and that is keep safe. Good night, guys.